Peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning we focus our attention on the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus as it's found in John chapter 3. You may be seated. I've been present at the birth of a few children. This week counts 8 now. And we love little Frida and what a blessing she is to our family. But I've been involved in enough births to know for absolute certain that children have no ability to choose the place or the time or the circumstances of their birth. Being in that womb, they may kick, they may thrash, but they cannot choose when it's time to come out. In fact, to a very high degree, that baby being born is very much at the whim of the mother, certainly at the whim of the doctors who are attending that birth, but mostly at the whim of God's desired timing. He's the one who chooses all things. He's the one who makes the decisions. That's all to say that a child doesn't get to choose their own specifics of being born. You didn't get to choose. I didn't get to choose. And no baby at any time ever got to choose the circumstances under which they were born. And the same is true when it comes to our rebirth. We're drawn to God by the work of the Holy Spirit, just as Nicodemus was drawn to Jesus on that night when he came out to see him by the things that Jesus had said and done. Nicodemus explains this draw that he felt to go out and see Jesus when he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the things that you do, the signs that you do, unless God is with him." And then to accentuate the fact that this necessary rebirth is not of one's own doing, Jesus tells Nicodemus about it without Nicodemus even asking him a pertinent question. Jesus has something to say to Nicodemus, and he needs to make sure that it's said. This interaction, which is first certainly confusing to Nicodemus, as it would be to any of us who heard the words that Jesus said, leads to Jesus being able to explain the truths of the Trinity and emphasizing our need for rebirth. While John sums up the whole thing with the verse that we've come to know as the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. In short, what we hear in our gospel today is that the Father sent his Son from heaven to give us new birth by water and the Spirit. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. These are the words of Jesus to Nicodemus, and they certainly seem strange in the ears of that Jewish leader. And Nicodemus replies to Jesus, he says, "How can a man be born when he is old?" A valid question, right? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Just as that little baby has no knowledge of the timing or even the need for his birth, we cannot at first understand the necessity of our second birth. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. And even as Jesus explains it, his words seem foreign to us. It makes no sense to those who are unaware of the need for rebirth. It makes no sense to those who don't know about the benefits that this rebirth provides. Paul says to the Romans, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we who know the Lord understand that our natural inclination is towards sin." Once we begin to understand that, we can begin to understand the need for rebirth. From the earliest days in the Garden of Eden and continuing on even right up to today, we've proven that we are spiritually dead and in desperate need of something that's going to bring us out of this grave of sin. Just as Paul states that he does not do the good that he wants to do, but does that which he does not want to do, we too are also powerless against the sin which is constant in our lives. Regardless of how hard we might try, we're going to continue to lie and to slander and to covet and to steal. And in the process of doing all of those things, we continue to turn our back on God. Left to ourselves, we demonstrate our lack of desire toward God and our inclination to think and to say and to do whatever it is that we want to do as opposed to what God's will is for us in our lives. This provides a great demonstration for us of the absolute need for this rebirth that Jesus is talking to us about. Because in our first birth, we are spiritually dead. Frida, right now, in the first few days of her life, needs to be brought to the waters of holy baptism for that rebirth that Jesus is talking about, which will happen next week. Each one of us needed to be brought to the waters of holy baptism so that original sin could be washed off of us. So that spiritual death that comes with our association with Adam could be gone. And what a joy it is when that happens. We will rejoice next week as Frida experiences that rebirth and that washing of water and the Spirit. But God recognizes our spiritual inability, even after that baptism, to be inclined toward Him. He's seen all of this for millennia. From the very beginning of time, He's seen it all. Every single time a creation of His turns their back on Him, we, as God's special creation, demonstrate what is said to us here in the Gospel of John, that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But what we don't always demonstrate is our knowledge and our adherence to the fact that that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Even those of us who have been baptized don't always demonstrate an understanding and an adherence to that fact. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Clearly here, Jesus is pointing us to our baptism, where the washing by water and the Spirit is rebirth for the soul which is dead in sin and trespass. But that's only true because the Father sent His Son to be the sacrifice by which we could be made whole. If there was not the Son who made that sacrifice, we would never be made whole. The washing with water in baptism is not only a union with the Holy Spirit, but it's a covering with the blood of Christ, who was sent by the Father to make payment for every way that we have ever fallen short. What we need to remember is that our rebirth is effected by God through His immeasurable grace, which is given to us only through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. John summarizes that thought in what is probably the most well-known passage in all of Scripture, when he says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." From the very beginning of time, God knew the enormity of the problem of sin. But even though He knew that, He also had a plan in place to deal with it, not temporarily, but to deal with it permanently. Our separation from God is the worst possible punishment that we could ever endure. But it was also a punishment that God knew was not acceptable to him. He could not accept that without his intervention, all would be lost forever for their inability to follow the law. And so he made a way so that all might be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. His death and his resurrection made it possible for us to be reborn from above, not just washed with water, but really reborn from above. Quite different than our first entrance into this world, our rebirth from above makes it possible for us to enter into the kingdom of God, an infinitely better place than the one in which we live today. If we ever thought that this world here was the paradise that God promised to us, all we have to do is take a look around and see the reality of this world that's filled with sin and sorrow. Thanks be to God that he not only has promised for us a better place than this one, the restored heaven and earth is what we're promised, but that he offers us a way to enter into that paradise that has nothing to do with anything that we have or anything that we could do, but rather on what has already been done for us. So we have been reborn. Those of us who have entered into this new life through the waters of baptism and the washing of water and the Holy Spirit. And yet, even though we are baptized children of God, we still live in this imperfect place. We who have the promise of the kingdom of God still live in a world which is filled with sin and sorrow. And if that's so, what effect does this rebirth really have on us? As washed and renewed children of God, we should look different. We should be different. We should act different. We should speak differently. Despite the fact that this world does not change, we have been changed. Having been reborn, we have the hope and the promise of eternal life with Christ, who is our Savior. But we also have the opportunity to live a life of worship of God and service to others. As the psalmist says, serve the Lord with fear and with gladness, and rejoice with trembling. The desire to worship him and to serve him and the others who are around us is the natural outpouring of the gospel message that we've been given. It's not only our privilege, but it's also our joy to lift up our voices in praise as well as our hands in service. So then the question you all should be asking yourselves is, who can you share this message with today? Who can you share this message with this week? As the Holy Spirit has worked in you, so too may he use you to work in the hearts and minds of others. We're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. We know that. And sometimes what that means is sharing that very wonderful news with them. Through our rebirth with water and the Spirit, we have eternal life to look forward to. We look forward to that last day where the sheep and the goats are going to be separated. Who do you know whose eternity is not as sure and certain as yours is? Who do you know who's not as confident about that last day? Just as Nicodemus came to Jesus by night for fear of how he might be perceived by others, there are people in your lives who are silently curious, who are wondering what's different about you who have been reborn, but are afraid to ask. People who need to hear the gospel message. People who need to know that in their sin there is no life, but that God has made a way for them to be reborn. Are you going to be the one who shares that message with them? We all certainly had no choice in the circumstances that surrounded our births. But God has always had choices. He chose to create us. He chose to send His one and only Son to redeem us. And He continually today chooses to strengthen us through the work of His Holy Spirit by word and by sacraments. We are today, through our rebirth of water and the Spirit, members of the kingdom of God. We have been claimed by God as His own through no effort of our own. Thanks be to God that He chooses us above all else. And may that be comfort and strength to you for the work that He calls each of us to do as members of His kingdom. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.